changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Let's talk today about what I'm calling mental real estate. This is a term I actually got from a friend of mine when I was in ministerial school. And I just realized that I dreamed about a mutual friend of ours last night. The idea is that of mental real estate. Real estate is valuable, as we know, and the reason it tends to escalate in value is because the population grows and there's a limited amount of it. The old saying is they're not making any more of it. And so that's why it's real estate. There's a finite amount of it, and we want to make the very best of it we can. The same is true in our brains. We have a finite amount of mental real estate. And what we tend to do is we tend to focus on things that are non-productive, focus on things that happened in the past over which we have no control. We tend to focus on things that are upsetting, concerning, worries that may happen. And as we do that, we're using up valuable mental real estate. That's not an easy thing to say. You could do that as a vocal warm-up. Valuable mental real estate. The human torch was denied a bank loan. Okay. We're using up valuable mental real estate when we do that, that could be used towards focusing on what we want to be or want to have or want to cause to come to be in our lives. And some of us, myself included, have some pieces of real estate that we've driven some pretty big spikes in the ground around it, put up a pretty big fence and said, you know what? This is not a good piece of real estate. It's not a productive piece of real estate. It's actually not positive for my life, but I'm not taking it down. And it's in that moment we need to begin. When we realize something, that's our opportunity to try and heal it and to try and say, that's not helpful for me. That's not serving me. So mental real estate can be, as I said, phobias, fear, not phobias, of course, but fears, concerns, worries, angers, unresolved hatreds towards ourselves and others, resentments. I used to joke that I was going to make a handle that said grudge on it, and so you could carry a grudge. Grudges that we carry. We hold all those things in our minds and they hold us back because we have limited mental real estate. So that's part of it. That's only part of it. I want you to get that core concept. However, the bigger thing, the more important thing is your beliefs. Now, beliefs, believe and it shall be done unto you. There are so many expressions of the word faith in the Bible. We use the word faith. I have faith. Faith. The challenge is a lot of times we put faith in things we don't want to happen or things we don't really believe we want. Here's what I, let me see if I can express it. Let's say, I always have to give myself as an example. I grew up really, really fat, as you know. I was like close to 300 pounds in high school. I lost 100 plus pounds, and my weight's gone up and down somewhat, but for the most part, I've kept it off. Now, in my mid-50s, early 50s, I decided I was going to get in the best shape of my life because I had a belief that I could never be in as good a shape as all these people I saw walking around me. And I realized I had that belief. that it was like my body was incapable of growing muscles, or my body was incapable of getting lean or whatever. And I had that belief and I challenged it. And the way I challenged it was I started going to the gym, supplemented my diet, supplemented with other things. More importantly, I had a coach who was a bodybuilder, a friend of mine. And every day I would send him what I ate and I would send him what I did at the gym. The thing was, I didn't see much of a change in the mirror because I noticed that while I was at the gym, I was criticizing myself for how out of shape I looked, how fat I looked, whatever. And so I decided, because there's always mirrors, so I decided that I was not going to give any mental real estate to that, that just while I was at the gym, I could not criticize my body. I couldn't say anything negative about my body in my mind. And I even talked to my friend, my coach, about this. And he said, if you're not lying in bed at night, visualizing yourself as you go to sleep with the shape, the muscles, the leanness, et cetera, the flexibility that you want. If you're not doing that, you're missing half of it. He says, if you're not seeing it in your mind, he said, trust me. And this guy was a professional bodybuilder for a while. He said, it's just not going to happen. So all of that time in the gym was great and effective and documented and escalating. And I was negating it by having a belief, even as I lay in bed at night, that it was not working, that I wasn't going to get in better shape. So I started doing this thing, and then I'll get off the whole weightlifting thing, but it's still something I try and do sometimes when I remember. Years ago, Lee Haney, who beat Arnold Schwarzenegger for numbers of time, Mr. Universe, the guy's just he looks like a refrigerator with a head, okay? So he said that you should never do 10 reps of any exercise. He said, your mind won't do 10. That's too many. He said, you should do five and five ands. So it's one and two and. And to this day, 30 years later, that's exactly what I do in the gym. That's exactly how I count things out. One and two and. And John got me to go, one, I have a great body. Two, I have a great body. And you know, I did get in the very, very best shape I could get into. We have a limited amount of real estate, and we can sit down and we can write down goal lists all day long and do vision boards, and we can even visualize. However, if at our core, we don't believe that what it is we aspire to do, to be, or to become, have or become, it's just not going to happen. Remember, we've talked about the idea of we live in a thinking universe. The universe, the very ethers around you, everything's made of one thing. And that one thing has consciousness. However, you can control the consciousness that you have, the consciousness that you believe, and you do it with your beliefs. Today, I want to invite you to take a little tour of your own mental real estate. Go over to Resentmentville. See how big it is. Who are you holding resentments against that you're still really pissed off at? Now, that doesn't mean to say there aren't some people in your life that you find toxic, and so you just don't engage with them. I've got people. You do too. What I'm talking about is, are you irritated at them? Are you upset at them? Are you still upset at this person, that person? So visit Resentmentville. Take a trip down into I Can't Valley. I can't do that. I can't do that. Visit the I'll Never River. Sit down next to the I'll Never River. I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to look like that. I'll never be able to have money like that. I'll never, I'll never, I'll never. It all comes down to what we're giving our mental real estate. You know, change it around. Go visit to I willville, or I amville, or I canville, or yes, I doville, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and see it getting smaller. Become aware that your limited mental real estate. Begin to use it in a way that serves your goals and serves our planet. Make the world a better place.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.